Almighty God, gracious Father, there is now so much that is wrong with this world, so much that causes us anxiety, fear, and deep, deep sadness. Ours is a world that could use more glimpses of your glory and fewer glimpses of the hell to which our sin so easily leads. Ours is a world that needs more of the gentle words of your Son, Jesus, and fewer angry words shouted by those who are filled with hate and insanity. Help us to follow your call on us to be peacemakers, promoting harmony and order, to break down those walls of hostility by reaching out to all who are different from us in meaningful friendship. Help us to cultivate peace and justice in each of our own communities. Lord, receive our thanks for all that is right, good, proper, and radiant with hope. But hear our petitions for all that seems wrong, bad, and out of sync in this world. We need your glory, Lord God, so that we can aspire to be more like you and less like the selfish, self-indulgent creatures we have become in our sin. We need the glory of your grace in a world bent on revenge, the glory of your truth in a world in love with lies, the glory of your holiness in a world filled with tawdriness, the glory of your resurrection life in a world mired in death. Make us transparent to you so that, because of your Spirit at work in us, this world can become a better place, a more kingdom-like place, a shalom place. O Lord God, we pray for the church gathered out of every nation, family, people, and tongue to be a kingdom of priests serving you. We pray for the church in all the world, whether they be young or old, weak or strong churches, small or large churches. Grant to the church true lowliness and genuine humility, where there is pride, unity, where there is division. Grant to her truth, where there is error, and wisdom, where there is folly, that your might fulfill your purposes for her. We pray for those in our own churches and from other Christian community partners who use their God-given talents and abilities with World Renew to tackle poverty, disaster, and injustice in all corners of the globe. Bless these servants, Lord, and uphold them, especially when they become discouraged by the endless needs of this world. Lord, we bring before you the needs of our own congregation. We give you thanks for healing for those who are ill. We ask that you comfort those who are grieving. Reassure those who feel troubled and frightened of what the future may hold. Be with the leadership of our congregation. Give them wisdom and anoint them with your Holy Spirit so they may discern your will for our future. As they do sometimes difficult, sometimes joyful, but always holy work, may they sense your anointing. When the fruit of their labor seems difficult to see, may your Spirit distribute bursts of renewed energy and encouragement. When frustrating and seemingly insoluble problems present themselves, grant wisdom and clarity of vision that can help. You, O God, have been our help in the past, and you are our bright hope for years to come. May each and every worker in this place be a bearer of Pentecost's flame, warming hearts, providing hope, lending comfort, and so, in all these ways, contribute in your glory in this congregation. Bless us, Lord, in the balance of this service, in our fellowship time, and in our time spent with family today. And if we fail to be attentive to the voice of your Spirit, forgive us. Touch us this day so that we will feel the energy we need to press on in faithful discipleship in the week ahead. Help us to place our ordinary, everyday life before you as an offering. Help us to fix our attention on you so that we may readily recognize what you want from us and quickly respond to it. Remind us of your abiding love and grace so that we can become beacons of love and grace to co-workers, to neighbors, to friends, and to fellow students. Anoint our eyes to see your image residing deep within each person we meet. Anoint our ears to hear the cries of all who surround us, especially the needy. Anoint our hands to gospel work. Anoint our lips to speak gospel peace, so that in all ways, in all times, in all places, we may glorify you. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. As we open up God's word this morning, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our King. Amen. So I'm going to share with you what I shared earlier as I was getting prepared for this message. One of the challenges I have is I have to sit with the sermon. It has to cook a long time. And I should have said to whoever was planning the service, hey, I'm using both Psalm 95 and Romans 12, but I didn't know I'd be using Psalm 95 until it cooked a little bit longer. So I would like to start with Psalm 95, and I'd like us to hold both of these scriptures together as kind of a whole picture of what God is calling to us as a worshiping body. So, Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared it on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And then from Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the word of the Lord. So as we think about that scripture from Psalm 95, we hear it all the time. We heard bits and pieces of it this morning when we were called into our worship service today. That language of coming and singing God's praises, it's familiar to us. And I think often when we think of worship, we think of what we do in this place, in this hour, or if the pastor happens to be long, hour and 15. It's our coming together. And I think that's very true. There's something very significant that we are a people that have a part of our habit to come and worship God in a very specific and particular way. And it includes worship, singing worship songs. See, I'm falling into the pattern I'm trying to push back against, actually. We sing music to God. We pray to God. We share the peace with each other. There's something about who we are that we do this as a community. It isn't just my personal devotion time, which has its place, but there's something significant about being a community that gathers together and does this very specific work of worship. That's what liturgy is. It's work that we do it together. We do it as a body. We do it as a collective. It doesn't mean that that personal devotional time isn't significant, but there's something significant about being together and doing it together. We're a worshiping community. Psalm 95, like many psalms, has a hinge. It seems like when you read this psalm that you have one part idea and then a second part of an idea. Here's this wonderful call into a worshiping act as a body. And then at the end, there's this thing, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. And we're like, how do those two fit together? But many psalms have a hinge. And the hinge of this psalm between opening our hearts in worship and not hardening our hearts when we hear God's voice are those middle verses. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel. Worship, I would submit to you, ultimately is an act of submission. We may say that it's singing uplifting songs. Most of the time, that's what we anticipate when we come together. Isn't that true? Let's be honest with each other, okay? And it's often singing the songs that I really like. That helps me worship. I'm just being honest myself. Right? I have my list of go-to songs, and there's some others that I'll put up with, but they don't really help me worship. I'm just being honest, and I'm hoping that I'm kind of saying, oh yeah, I'm kind of, the rest of us are that way too. But Psalm 95 tells us that at the root of worship is submission. It's bowing down for a God who is worthy, bowing down for the God who created and sustained this universe and created and sustains us. It's submitting to him. It's kneeling down before him. And I want you to think about those actions because we don't do that anymore very often. When I got engaged, Tom didn't get down on one knee. He's a very practical guy. Things weren't going well with my work. And he said, well, maybe before you decide whether to keep that job, we should talk about getting married. I love that man because he cut right to the heart of the matter. But he didn't get down on one knee. There wasn't this sense of vulnerability. But that's what getting down on one knee is. It's making yourself very vulnerable to the other. Have you thought about getting down on one knee? If I were that kind of person, I might make you do it, but I won't. When we get down on one knee, what can't you do readily? Some of you are saying, get up. But that's the exact truth. It doesn't even matter if you're really spry. When you get down on one knee, you can't run. You can't adjust to something coming after. That's a very vulnerable position. So think about, back in the day, bending a knee to a sovereign. You're saying, I trust you so much that I'm going to be in a position that I can't defend myself, that I can't get up and run away. I am offering my whole self to you when I'm in that position. It's the same as bowing. When we bow down, where is our focus? It's this way. I can't tell if the king is going to come and attack me or have somebody move me out of the way. I have to trust in the goodness of the person I'm bowing to. Have you ever thought about that? That's a vulnerable position. When we come into worship, we are saying, I trust. I give my whole self to you, O God, my King. I trust as mighty as you are that you could do anything to me in this moment. But I am laying it all down before you because I trust your goodness, your grace, your mercy. I trust that you are the God that you have always been and that you continue to be. I trust your reputation. When we worship, it is an act of submission. When we come in here and we are reminded to bow down, to kneel before our King, before our Maker, before our Shepherd, we are reminded that it's not about us. If there is something that we could all leave with today, it's a reminder that what we gather to do as a collective is not about my individual wants, desires, needs. We have an audience of one, and that audience is the Creator of the universe. And that there's consequences when we don't submit. When we don't submit, our hearts harden and we live other than the way we were created to live. When we don't submit, we live in a way that doesn't bring Him honor and glory in everything that we do. We are kneeling in an action of saying, it is all yours and I am here to serve. And so when we move to the Romans 12 passage, we are reminded that that doesn't just happen here. That's the call on our everyday life, 24/7. That life is about submitting to the will of God all the time, in every way. That doesn't just happen 1 hour a week or 1 day of the week. That we can't compartmentalize what it means to walk with Christ, to live into the Spirit. But this is an all-day, every-day, every-hour way of being. Every part of our lives is submission. So you can remember people saying, when I work, I pray. When I breathe, I pray. When I live my day-to-day life, I live it to the glory of God in submission to His will. And what's beautiful about thinking about that level of integration, of not just having 1 hour a week where we're reminded, oh yeah, there's a God and He cares for me. Oh yeah, there's a God and His will is larger than my will. When that permeates our whole lives, it helps us to suppress our will and our way, but it elevates other things in our lives that we think aren't that important. So when I take care of my children, when I cook a meal, when I bring a meal to my neighbor, when I make sure that my walkways are clean so my neighbor won't slip on it, those are all consecrated. It's a way of being a part of God's blessing to the world. Nothing is too small that can't bless the rest of the world and honor God, and nothing is too big that I can't be equipped to do it. All of a sudden, my whole life is about following God's will and blessing the world around me, wherever I find myself. It is all elevated and consecrated to His service. And so in some ways, I see this hour and a half that we spend together once a week is kind of a turbocharge for a holy life. I don't know if any of you remember this toy, but I always wanted it and never got it. So don't hear bitterness. So, and it was a toy for boys, and I grew up in this is a girl toy and this is a boy toy. So it was those matchbox cars. Do you remember matchbox cars? Maybe they still have them. And you could put the car on the track, and you could press a little button, and it would soup up the car, and it would do its thing. But then as it came around the track again, you could zhoot, and it would soup up again, and it would get its energy. It was turbocharged in a certain place, and it went out and did its thing. Sometimes I think that's what this time together, when we come as a collective to worship and to pray and to hear God's word, it's that turbocharge to get recreated, to get reinvigorated, to practice submission together as a body where we can encourage and support each other so that when we go out and we're not with each other all the time, we can still have the speed and the energy and the momentum that we need to do what God calls us to do when we're not together. Every week we come together to be propelled again out into the world. And so we rehearse God's story every week so that we're able to tell God's story when we're not with each other. We rehearse what it means to listen deeply to God. That's why we open the Word, so that we can do that throughout the week, turbocharged. We confess together and we spend time in listening to God's forgiveness to us so that we can live as forgiven people when we leave this place. We practice the act of actually putting something into a collection plate so that we know that we can do that the rest of the week. We learn how to give. We sing so that the songs will carry us and we can sing throughout the rest of the week. We pray so that we can be a praying people. We live and do this in community so that we're reminded that even if we're not sitting next to each other in each of these pews, we represent the High King together out there. And as a collective, we've just spread out to do His work. And we submit to each other. Have you ever thought of that? That when we come to worship together, we're actually submitting to each other? When we walk in here, we say, I'm not going to make my needs be primary because I know that there are 100 other people in here who need to hear God's word. We submit to each other. We submit to someone leading us in prayer and trust that the Holy Spirit will be working through that prayer leader to help us know what we should be praying about now and through the week. We submit to someone we may not enjoy listening to or like, but we say we trust that the Holy Spirit's going to work through the pastor this morning and bring the word. That's submission. We submit to songs that we may not enjoy singing because we know that somewhere in this group of our brothers and sisters, there is someone who needs to hear that song today. We submit to the Spirit together, and we practice that here so we know how to take that submission, that vulnerability, the trust that the Holy Spirit will help us to do that in a world when we're not always together. And so when I hear people, and I hear it a lot, actually, say, oh, I wasn't fed this morning, I have to ask, did you come hungry? Did you come ready to eat what God had prepared for you to that day? Did you come ready to honor the fact that the Holy Spirit was in this event even before we got here? Now, I don't know how you grew up, but in my family, we ate what my mom put on the table. We just did. And she had enough of a good sense of humor that, you know, if it was something that wasn't particularly tasty, she said, well, I guess I don't have to do that recipe again. But we ate it. We didn't complain. We didn't even have an out. My kids had an out. They could go make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich if they didn't like what we made that day. That was the parenting rule of the time, by the by. But we ate it. We may not have enjoyed it always, but we ate it. And it may have been my sister Pam's favorite, but not Sister Anne's favorite, but we ate it. Our world tells us we don't have to do that. Our culture tells us it's all about me. And so when I come here, I hope that the menu will suit what I'm looking forward to today. The world tells us that really everything should be a smorgasbord, right? And you can have your choice and you can leave the vegetables and you can leave the things that may be good for you or maybe that's something that you need to eat, but you know, I don't really enjoy that. We're saying no to the world when we come together and we submit to God through the Holy Spirit and we submit to each other. We say we're going to trust that the King of the universe, who takes care of us and this place, is going to give us the meal, the very thing we need to be turbocharged to go out into the world again this week. We're going to come hungry for what He needs to give us. He knows what we need. That's vulnerable. That is very countercultural. That says we're going to trust worship planners, and we're going to submit to worship leaders, and we're going to submit to each other in order to learn how to submit to the great high king. Because we have to practice it, because it's against our nature. I don't like people to tell me what to do. I would prefer to tell others what to do, truth be told. And I'm sure that there's many of you out there that are the same. I have to trust, even though I've been trained to preach, I've been trained to put together worship services, I've done it professionally for many years, that when I go to a new place where I'm not the one who's up here or I'm not the one who's planned the worship, that it's what I need. That God has something there for me. And that I don't always have to be the one in charge. When we gather as a community, we practice submission so that we can live daily in that vulnerable, trusting way of life, submitting to our Father, to His will, and to His way. And submission is not being just a hangdog kind of, okay, if we have to have meatloaf again, all right. I think what we hear in Psalm 95 is that we engage in vibrant, vigorous, vocal, passionate worship so that we know that submitting can also be a vibrant, passionate, vocal, God-honoring way to live 24/7. And we practice it in a loving community. Sometimes we have to remind each other what it feels like. Sometimes we have to lift each other up. And what I think that this reformed accent on being a part of a worshiping community reminds us is that this is a way we can push back against the influence, the deformative influences in the world. Deformative influences that say we need to reduce everything to a certain amount of time, to a sound bite. So we'll spend a little time in worship and a little time exercising and a little time doing this. The world is telling us not to live a wholly integrated life. It's saying, take little bits and pieces and try to jig it together. That'll work for you. And when we come together as a body, we say, no, that's not how God created us to live. He wanted us to live a very integrated whole life where He infuses everything we do and that everything we do can bring Him honor and glory. Everything can be worship. Everything we do, when we do it to His honor and glory, gives Him the glory that He desires. And this is what I think we're being called to do. To live a life that's transformed from the inside out. A life that loses that push to be individuals, that push to be independent. That push to say, my way or the highway. Worship reminds us that all parts of us can give honor and glory to God. Worship reminds us that we can have a less consumeristic approach to life. That we can trust the meal that God is giving us. That we can let go and trust that God will give us what we need. That everything we do can be faith formational. And we gather together to reenact that, to re-experience that out, so that we can live an integrated life, a holy life, a holistic life, out among people who aren't experiencing that yet. And God wants to invite them in to that kind of life, that transformed life. So what is God calling you to think about, to do today? For some of us, we may have to be reminded, I've got to take more advantage of this time together in worship and not just see it as something, a box that I've ticked off. Okay, did that, now I'm off to the next thing. For some of us, it's praying for the Holy Spirit to work with our worship leaders and planners. Do you pray for me when I'm coming to preach? I would love it if you would. Are we in this together all of the time? Can we leverage this time together so that we can be that much more effective in what God is calling us to do in the world around us? How is God calling each one of us to use this time as transformational so that we won't conform to the world around us when we are not together? So I want to leave you with Eugene Peterson's translation of Romans 12. Many of you know that Eugene Peterson passed away about a week or so ago. And he had such a gift, didn't he, of helping us to look at Scripture in a different way and words that might just open up Scripture. So here's how he wrote it. Here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Just like you practiced this week, placing part of your life in the offering place. Embrace what God does for you, because it's the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. And unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Every week we gather and we bow down before our Lord. We submit to Him and we say no to the influences that ask us to be other than what He has created us to be. Let's pray. God, I thank You for these people. I thank You that we can sing together, that we can shed tears when we think about what a difficult week again we've experienced as we've watched violence and hatred hurt and kill so many. And thank You that I have brothers and sisters who can cry with me, who can laugh with me, who could teach me how to give, who can remind me by their very presence that You are still here and You care about this world and we can trust You. We can be vulnerable with You. I thank You, God, for worship services that lighten my heart so that I can go be about Your business again. And I pray, Lord, that this would be the prayer for each one of us. I pray, Lord, that we will never take for granted the opportunity to come and worship You. That we will be mindful of the fact that many of our brothers and sisters don't have that opportunity. And that in that mindfulness, we will find ways to support them and to support systems and governments that can reach out to give them the protection that we live in here in this great nation of ours. And so, Father, as we practice submitting to You and to each other every week, may that help us to be humble leaders, humble servants in Your kingdom when we are apart from each other. And not just so that people will like us more or think, wow, that's a great church. But they will go, who is it? Who is this God that they follow? I would like to follow that God, know that God, be a part of that shalom as well. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.